All right, am I on now? All right, guys, come on in. I know, that's so like 5 years ago. Yeah, is there... Even technology, it comes back around. I did. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? The battle for spirituality and walking with God and having Jesus at the center. Is this a little easier at church? People trying to help your heart get there and other people that are in the same battle. It's good to be together. And I don't know how long my thoughts are, but I think I just have a few of them this morning. I was encouraged by a book this week by John Ortberg. I think that's his name. Just some thoughts on God is closer than you think. And it was a blessing to me, and so I organized mostly just his thoughts and some of Josh's that he's been sharing for a number of weeks since this is, I call it Josh's series. Some of the things that Josh has been communicating to our discipleship team, and so I'm going to try to communicate them faithfully as he would. So that's where we're going, right? We took the last few weeks and we made God big and us small. Today we're going to talk about God being close. And that is bigger than we think, and He's closer than we think. And then our view of God will be, my word is mind-fritzing. But we'll get to that. So, why don't you pray with me? God, I thank you for a family of believers, and I thank you, God, for people to encourage us along the way, Lord, and we all want to follow you. God, you're the example, and we want to be like you are. And then we're an example for others. And there's more pictures of you, or really part of you, God, on the earth. God, I thank you for the amazing promises of your church, God, that somehow we're a body of you. God, that you're on the earth because your church is on the earth. And I just thank you for the chance to be part of it. I thank you for the chance to be here together. And I pray your word, God, your encouragement would come to us. Lord, you say not to be merely hearers of the word, but doers. This morning, God, as it is the pattern of another church service, I pray my heart, God, would not just be a hearer this week, but a doer. I pray that for these people. God, lock us into what you have for us and help us be faithful to walk it into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here's the question. What is the thing that God promises most in the Bible? The thing promised the most to people, to a person. Or you could say it like this. What's the Bible about? And I'll give you the answer. The central promise in the Bible is not, I will forgive you. So that promise is there. It is not the afterlife, though that is promised to us. It is the promise of, I will be with you. That is the promise. It's what he says to Jacob, I will be with you. It's what he says to Abraham, I will be with you. It's what he says to lots of Old Testament saints. And then in the New Testament, the principal promise in the New Testament says, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So if you think about that a little more, did you know when it started in the garden, before sin, that was the promise. Right? God came down. He walked with Adam. He walked with Adam on the earth. And then Enoch walked with God, and God liked that. Took him up to heaven. And the promise of I will be with you was made to Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and Amos and Mary and Paul and on and on. You know, God being with us, the Old Testament was the reason for courage. He says to David, Joshua, do not be terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It was the reason people kept going in darkness. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And when God brings the tabernacle, and the covenant, and the manna, and the temple, and the pillar of fire, and the pillar of cloud, what are all those things? What does God want to do with all those things? They are a reminder, I am with you. There's a pillar of cloud. I am with you. There's manna every morning. I am with you. When Jesus comes, his redemptive name is Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus sends his Spirit, he sends his Spirit so that he can say, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When we get to heaven, we will sing Revelation 21:3. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I always thought that verse was a little strange, because it's like, be with them, dwell with them, over and over. It is the emphasis, and it's the emphasis, it will be the emphasis when we get to heaven. And so if you want to draw a circle around the Bible, the thing that unifies it, actually, I'll let Dallas Willard and Richard Foster say it. It says this, the unity of the Bible is discovered in the development of life with God as a reality on earth centered on the person of Jesus. Life with God on earth is the theme, a unifying factor in the Bible. Well, okay. I get that. That leads me to ask a question. Am I living life with God? Am I experiencing this promise? Do I walk with God? And when I say that, I mean each moment. So right now, can you go down into your soul right now and be with God? Can you bring him into this moment? Jesus promised he would come make a home with us if we want. And I want to read a story to help us talk about this, and it is in Luke 10. So why don't you grab your Bibles? I'm going to grab one. We are going to start, we're going to read the story of Martha and Mary, 10 verse 38. This is how Bibles get destroyed, not children, just pastors. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You know, when Jesus says your name twice, it's happened two other times. Simon, Simon, the Lord has asked to sift you like wheat. And Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When Jesus says your name twice, listen up. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay. I want to make some comments. We can take this story and we can make it about personality types. So there's the Mary personality type, and she is the ponderer. Right? She's the one who takes a blade of grass and she can look at it deeply for an hour. Right? She examines life. She could join a covenant. She could be a monk. She contemplates. She lives life deeply. And then there's Martha. And Martha is the busy, active, achievement-oriented multitasker. And she's a doer. And I have read this story as a lesson to stop doing. Stop doing and sit, you achievement-oriented boy. And I think there's an encouragement a little bit in that. But I don't think that's what the story's about. Because Jesus called us workers. And there's a story where the high achievement guy is commended and the laid back guy is called wicked and lazy. There's another story Jesus tells where two sons go into the vineyard and the one son who actually doesn't go in the vineyard and he's into just being and contemplating, things don't go very well for him. Jesus says, pray for workers to go out into the harvest field. The last thing Jesus has said is be devoted to going through the whole world making disciples and teaching them everything I've taught you. And then he said this, it is precisely in this doing that I'm with you. So if the way to experience God's presence is just to sit, then why did Jesus and his disciples, why were they always out doing stuff? Is it really God's plan that a mother with young children is to experience less of God than a monk? Would that be God's plan? See, I don't believe the story is about sitting more. And to think about the story, just to give you a little background, there are some things in the story that are a little scandalous. What I'm saying is this. Well, maybe not scandalous. They would have inspired gossip. Maybe I speak too strongly. Jesus, as a single male, in a conservative Jewish environment, is at the house of two other single women. Now, you as a single male, have you ever been into a women's apartment for the evening? I think back when I was single. I go, yeah, but it was a little weird. It's a little weird. And this is what Jesus is doing. In a much more conservative environment than our environment. A much more conservative culture. And then there are people that think Jesus spent the night at this house. And they think that because of the very, very strong obligation to show hospitality in the culture. Once someone came into your house for the evening, they just didn't leave normally. And if Jesus didn't have another place, so There are people that argue that. I don't know if Jesus stayed. I have a hard time thinking that he did. But we're not told. But regardless, this is unprecedented rabbi behavior to be a single man in the house of two single women. Then we have what Mary is doing. Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet. This isn't just a description of where she's sitting. Sitting at someone's feet was sort of the technical way you said you're a disciple of. Right? Paul said, I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel in Acts 22. What's Paul saying? He was saying, I was discipled. I was the disciple of Gamaliel, the highest dude. That's part of my credentials. So Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She had made a life decision here. And to make someone your rabbi was a decision about being with somebody. You were going to be with him. And so a disciple would be with their rabbi in ancient times as much as possible, not just in teaching time. Because they wanted to know, how does the rabbi handle money? What would the rabbi do if a woman talked to him? Right? And so disciples of a rabbi would compete with each other. Oh, I want to be with him. I want to be with him when he does his chores. And I want to be with him when he cooks food. And I want to be with him. I want to be with him when he's going to the bathroom. I know we can't quite imagine that, but they didn't want to miss a prayer that he might pray. There's a story in the ancient Talmud, which is sort of Jewish stuff, but it tells a story of a disciple that hid under the bed while his rabbi was going to go to bed with his wife. And he was discovered. And he said, and his response is sort of classic. He says, this too is Talmud. I want to learn. I need to learn, or something. And the rabbi kicks him out of the room. As he should. So, but that is the force. I want to be like this rabbi. So you and I, we can be with our rabbi. We can be with Jesus. We can be with Jesus when we're praying. We can be with Jesus when we're fixing a snack. We can be with Jesus when we're watching a movie. See, the one thing that is needed that Jesus told Mary is not to stop doing. But the one thing that is needed is being with Jesus. That's what's needed. No matter what else is going on, be with Jesus. Let me tell you what I mean. So what if, I'm going to get up so you guys don't fall asleep. What if in the morning you woke up? And immediately when you woke up, you whispered a prayer to God and you said, God, I want to be your disciple today. I want to be with you. And what if you thought about a couple things that God was like? God is my shepherd and God, you rule the world today. And you got out of bed. And you went to wash up, and as you were washing up, instead of just washing up, you washed up with Jesus. And you prayed, and you said, God, I thank you today, my soul is clean. My soul is cleaner than my face feels, as of yet. And you wash up, and you wash up with God. And thank Him for your salvation and forgiveness. And then you eat. And what if eating was a little bit more worshipful? What if you said, God, I thank you so much for coffee and Raisin Bran and food. And then you check the news or Facebook or whatever you do. What if you did it with Jesus? Would it change the way you do it? Not maybe the way you do it, but your thoughts when you did it? Would you be on Facebook and pray for people more? Would your thoughts and attitudes be any different reading about politics? You did it with Jesus. And you went to work. And what if you worked for Jesus, but also with Jesus? Would it change anything? Would it whisper prayers more? Would you whisper prayers more? Would it change any of your values or what was important? I wonder how could you be with Jesus in interruptions? Jesus, how did you deal with interruptions? What about driving home? What if you drove home not in your tired self, but with Jesus? Disconnect the horn. Whatever. Then you get home. But it's the end of the day. And you go, I know you've done this, because I do this. You turn the TV on and you say, this is about me now. I've been giving all day, and this is about nobody else. This is about me. What if you said this? What if you sat down to watch TV with Jesus? What if you said, God, I thank you for work, and I thank you for rest. Let me rest with you. Would you come and sit with me and watch TV? Or sit with us and watch TV? And God, I thank you for cheesy Star Trek. Or whatever you're watching. And maybe you don't think Star Trek is cheesy, but I do. So, what if when you went to bed, instead of looking at your phone, what if you went over your day, repented for places you had sinned, and thanked God for blessings that had happened, praised Him for life, and went to sleep. And it sets you in a mood to sleep well, and to sleep restfully, and in the love of God, to wake up and be with Jesus again. You know that's available to you? Do you know how many women disciples there were? Any disciples? Disciples of rabbis in Israel before Jesus? Zero. Before Jesus, there were none. Jesus. And Jesus came and He made God's presence scandalously available to anybody, male, female, rich, poor, young, old, hermit, or homemaker. God's presence is available. The desire of the nations is close. Now, when I start thinking about bringing God into my day, I can start treating God like my little imaginary friend, or my best friend, or this guy I sort of bring into my life a little bit, but he's sort of there, and then he's gone, and then he's just a vapor, and I don't know. I get out of the mindset that it is God. Something that Owen's been saying for a few weeks now is how fast we are moving through space. Like the planet, right? The planet is moving at 50,000 miles an hour or whatever it is. And he likes to talk about that. And he talks about it because he goes, I don't feel like I'm moving. God's amazing. And I think, wow, God is that big and amazing. And He wants to be with me. Right inside my belly button. And your belly button are thousands of bacteria that form an ecosystem with more moving parts than a rainforest. Whoa. That God listens when you whisper to Him. The sun's temperature right now is 27 million degrees. Our God is a consuming fire, and He is closer than the shade at our right hand. See, the one I invite to come watch TV with me is the one who rides on the horse with blazing eyes and a sword coming out of his mouth. Right, like I get into the, oh, my, I want my stuffed animal to watch TV with. Whoa. In Revelation 6, it says, there's people in it, talking to the mountains, and they say, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to withstand it? The guy people are begging to escape the wrath of wants to comfort you in your troubles. The God who made black holes of which we've never been inside, He wants to give me wisdom. That guy wants to give me wisdom. We can't compartmentalize, right? The God that sits with me on the couch and the God that I sing indescribable to at church. They're the same God. And Luke says that Mary was distracted by many things. It doesn't say she was busy with many things. It says she was distracted by many things. And the word there is just means to pull away, to drag away. And I think Martha wanted to be with Jesus, but she was pulled away. What was she pulled away from? I think she was pulled away by the pressure, the societal pressure of hospitality, maybe. Something inside of Martha said, you must do this. Culture? Her mom? Or the voice of her mom in her head? But there she is, in the kitchen, away from Jesus. And John Ortberg pretends he knows what she's thinking, and I wanted to read it to you, because it's interesting. This is Martha's thoughts. The master's here. The guy that teaches about serving all the time. And who's serving? I get so sick and tired of being the one who always does all the work. Pharaoh freed the slaves, all right. All but one. And Mary needs to get out of there. No other rabbi has a disciple. And what will people think? What will happen to Mary's reputation? Jesus' reputation. My reputation. Who will marry either of us? If word of this gets around, and it will, does Mary know a woman's place is in the kitchen? So she's got all this in her head, right? And she's thinking, I'm right. She gets all worked up, and so she goes to Jesus. And she doesn't go to Mary. She knows she's right. And she says, tell her to help me. Right? That's how you speak to Jesus. Tell her to help me. So she's not happy with Jesus either. You catch this? Jesus, if you were compassionate and others focused, you would have this woman help me. You wouldn't ruin our reputations by doing this. I'm slaving away and I need some help. And Jesus is kind, but he diagnoses it. Distraction. He said, one thing is needed. Live in my presence. See, Martha wasn't doing bad things. She wasn't sinning. She's not being mean to anybody. She's not running a brothel. She just wasn't doing what she would normally do with Jesus. See, we don't need to radically change our lives to be with Jesus. We just need to invite Him into what we are doing more. To be the Lord of my heart when I'm washing the dishes. So that's the diagnosis. Distracted. You are distracted from basking in Jesus' presence. And therefore, you're worried and upset about many things. Her problem was not defiance. It was not a hate-filled heart. It was not rebellion. Distracted. Worry. I learned that there's a little play on words here when Jesus says, hey, Mary has chosen what is better. Really, the word there is the better portion. The word you'd use for food. Mary has the better plate of food here. She's got the better portion of the pie. Martha, I know you're fixing a meal, but there's a banquet going on right here. And Mary's got a great old plate of food, and it would be really inhospitable of me to take it out from under her nose. Right? Martha, come in here and join us in this banquet. Jesus said, Mary, let it go. Let the clean house go. Let the expectations of people and what people think go. Let the cultural norms, let it go and be with me. I was coming down to land on an airplane, and when I fly, I like the window seat because I'm not big enough to have to have an aisle seat to be comfortable. I can be comfortable next to the window, and it gives me perspective when I'm over populated areas and when I'm over mountains. I just like mountains, and so we came through the clouds, and we were really close to the airport, and I was looking at all the traffic, and I was like, man, those cars are small. I mean, they're not even Matchbox cars. They're like micro machines. They're smaller than micro machines. Those cars are small. And I was like, if there were some people outside of those cars, I'm not sure I could see them. Maybe if they were moving, I could see them. And I was like, and we were at least double this height up. Maybe triple. And if there were people then, I wouldn't even see them. They'd just be specks. And even these cars, I'm like, I wonder how many people are in that car. 1? 10? I don't know. And I'm not that far up. And just in my really like literal physical way of thinking, I was like, when God comes down to like be with, he comes down a long way. I'm like, so if I were God, I'd come all the way down and I'd be like this big plane, right? And I'd go inside the car and be with whoever's in there. And I can't tell. But he is holy and he can't even look on evil. So perfect. He does exactly the right thing all the time. He wants to give us direction. That God allows us to be with him. His disciples. And when I think of all this, I just fritz. I just fritz out. Preparing this teaching just fritzed me out. Because God is big and he is close. And to think of both those things. Close enough to teach and to be humble and to give me, to speak to me, to give me prompting, to comfort me. And big enough to tell all the kings of the earth, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. He is in all these realms. And I wanted to, we're going to break bread this morning. Nick, could you pass some of that out? Maybe Nate, since you're standing next to it. You guys, the rest of you guys can sit down. Nick and Nate can do it. There's only so many of you. And what I want us to do when we break bread is just to invite God into our lives, to tell him we want to be disciples, to have God be with us in the moment. In the moment, you alone with God, God can be there with you. and for God to be with you. And that's what Jesus died to do. There's blood, and there's a body, so that we could be with God. And so we can enjoy His presence, and thank Him for His sacrifice, and be with Him. And if you have extra time here, after you break bread, fritz your mind. Who is with you right now? Who is with you? Who is the God you are praying to when you pray?
So go ahead, I'll play a couple chords. Lord, I think of You too long, or not very long at all, and I realize I don't understand You. You are a mystery, and yet You have revealed so much. You have revealed more than I can hold in my finite mind. And I thank You for the humility of revealing, and I thank You for the humility of Your cross, and I thank You for shed blood and shed body and a life that is perfect that You offered to Your Father. God, I praise You. That right now, You are with Your people. That right now, You are on the earth through Your Spirit. God, that You are as close to me as my shadow. That somehow through Your Spirit, I can know Your thoughts. That I can have the mind of Christ. That there is a closeness to You that is available that I don't quite fathom. Walk us into being with you. We tell you together, God, we want to walk with you, and we are excited so much. You opened a door and you tore the veil. And I am holy enough to be in the Holy of Holies with you. Thank you. Thank you for the chance to live life with someone by my side. The chance to live life with a shepherd, a leader, a friend, a lover, a father, a brother. Thank you for love. I thank you for all of what love caused you to do. God, I thank you for justice and all of what justice caused you to do, all of your hatred of sin. And I thank you for reconciliation with you. Thank you for your cross. God, we could sit here and thank you for so much. We could thank you for the next 24 hours and there would be more that you have done. So we praise you. We praise you and thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.